Tonight, Heartbleed hijacks VPN sessions, NASA's laser internet connection, and Pandora sued over playing oldies. Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 69 for Friday, April 18th, 2014. I'm Jason Howell. Let's get right to the tech feed. First up, the Heartbleed vulnerability that exploits websites using OpenSSL all over the world continues to, well, bleed out. The latest, earlier today, researchers with network security firm Mandiant said Heartbleed had been used to subvert a customer's VPN concentrator, which is typically a secure method for people to access a network from outside the organization. The devices often require multiple forms of authentication before granting a user access, such as passwords, previously set authentication cookies, and other security tokens. Mandiant's blog post didn't identify the target, but the New York Times reports it was a major corporation with, quote, particularly sophisticated attack detection systems, end quote. As companies rush to revoke the SSL certificates for their domains and services and obtain new ones in order to protect themselves from the Heartbleed bug, the cost of doing so is skyrocketing. Yesterday, Cloudflare, which provides security for websites, revoked and replaced all of the SSL certificates for its customers. Activity that forced issuer GlobalSign to update its certificate revocation list, or CRL, which is what a browser requests when determining whether a certificate is safe or not. According to Cloudflare, GlobalSign's CRL grew from 22 kilobytes before Heartbleed to 4.9 megabytes afterward. GlobalSign's update also caused a huge spike in requests from browsers for the latest list, which in turn caused a drain on GlobalSign's bandwidth. In a blog post today, Cloudflare noted, quote, if you assume that the global average price for bandwidth is around $10 per megabit per second, just supporting the traffic to deliver the CRL would have added $400,000 US to GlobalSign's monthly bandwidth bill. About 3 hours ago at Cape Canaveral, a SpaceX rocket headed for the International Space Station launched with some new cargo, NASA's Optical Laser Communications, known as OPTICOM technology, which could make it easier for the ISS to share data with mission control and could change internet protocols on Earth as well. This is SpaceX's third commercial resupply mission to the space station. Once the technology is installed, the company will attempt to transmit video from space to Earth at more than 200 times the speed currently possible. The system is officially called the Optical Payload for Laser Comms Science, or OPALS, and was developed at California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. It can send data up to 50 megabits per second, which puts NASA's current 200 to 400 kilobits per second firmly in the obsolete corner. The HTC One M8's Duo camera with ultrapixel technology has some of the best specs on the smartphone market, at least some of the more interesting specs. But what's next for the company? Vodafone spoke with HTC camera expert Simon Whitehorn, who says that, quote, HTC wants to own the selfie market. You'll see a lot more investment in that area. In some markets, 90% of pictures taken are selfies, end quote. So what does that mean for a front-facing camera? Whitehorn explains, the nice thing there is that we always know what the range of someone's arm is, so we can tune the camera for that setup by using things like an ultra-wide lens and digital correction. Oh, but that's not all. HTC believes we have only about 18 months to 2 years before smartphone cameras catch up with the quality of DSLR cameras, and that'll be through optical zooming technology that HTC wants to take advantage of within the next 18 months. That'll be pretty cool. In other HTC news, the Taiwanese company has hired South Korea-based Samsung's former U.S. marketing chief, Paul Golden, as a consultant. Golden helped create Samsung's successful Galaxy brand as Samsung's CMO from 2008 through 2012, and now consults for HTC chairwoman, Cher Wang. Within the past few years, HTC itself has shuffled through three CMOs and struggled with the marketing side of its business. The company's global smartphone market share has slid to less than 2%, according to Barclays analyst Dale Guy. Now, coming up, how criminals are using drones to find, well, you guessed it, pot farms. But first, I want to welcome Scott Bubman to the show. Scott is the business and tech reporter for NBC here in the Bay Area. Thank you so much for joining me today, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Jason. Always good to be on the show.
Absolutely. So let's talk music today. Pandora and others, other online streaming services have, long been the target of music industry's ire. Now the music industry is filing a lawsuit against Pandora, claiming that the service hasn't paid what it's supposed to for songs older than 1972. They're citing a loophole in copyright law there. What is the loophole that Pandora is supposedly exploiting here?
There is some sort of a loophole where I believe if your song was recorded before, I think it's February of 1972, it is somehow not subject to the federal copyrights as more modern music. And it is a loophole. Not many people have heard of this, but all of a sudden that date of 1972 is coming up because of this older music. And you figure, hey, as sites like Pandora catch on among people of all ages, because smartphones and the internet is catching on, you're going to get a lot of people who want to play music by acts like the Turtles, who I understand have filed a big lawsuit against Pandora.
Ah, the Turtles. Yes. I can't remember what their song is, but that's okay. I'm sure it was awesome.
Happy Together, I think.
There we go. All right. Fantastic.
I read it recently. I can't remember.
And I'm going to have that running through my head for the rest of the show. Now, Pandora isn't the only target here. This is actually a follow-up suit to one that was filed against SiriusXM last September, charging the same copyright infringement. Is it safe to say that other music streaming services might be next, or are SiriusXM and Pandora interpreting this law differently from everyone else? What do you think?
My guess would be if any success comes from the suits of the two big guys right now when it comes to streaming, Sirius and Pandora, then yeah, the other ones will follow. But right now, the Turtles and their ilk are taking after the big ones and really saying, trying to say, we're not going to cross this line and let you discover music digitally the way, Jason, you and I did when we were young on the radio. And it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as you say, the sticking point here is that though some recordings may not be covered under federal law, every sound recording is actually covered until 2067 under state law. How do these companies feel they have a legal leg to stand on if that's the case? Aren't they taking a huge risk? And, if they're found guilty, how much of a financial impact would the ruling be to these companies?
To Pandora and Sirius. I mean, it could be a lot of money. I think they are taking a risk, but some of these lawsuits have already been dragging on for a while. And I have a feeling there's a bit of a, I don't know if you'd call it a generation gap, but just a different way of thinking about music now, where the Pandoras and Sirius XMs of the world want to take these companies and shake them and say, hey, didn't we learn this lesson once before? Not only on the music side, but on the Hollywood side, where getting this stuff out as often as possible in any way possible brings you money. And I think that's, I happen to agree with that idea, but I do understand the artists as well saying, hey, we own this, we should get paid for this. And this model is still relatively new. And I guess we haven't proven yet that downloading music or hearing music stream brings people, to the iTunes stores or the Amazon stores of the world to actually pay for the music.
Sure. No, absolutely. Now, and finally, if the labels are successful with the suit, think we can expect to see services like Pandora, which has like a free tier that's ad supported, begin to charge for access to offset the cost? How much might this in fact impact the users of these kind of services?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. For now, a lot of people, especially the young users, are used to getting this stuff streamed for free. Mm. For a while, we did it primarily on the iTunes model where we paid for music. Now, because of Pandora and Spotify, we're getting used to this music streaming for free or perhaps for a subscription-based fee. And remember, Steve Jobs famously said that he was not into that for iTunes, but I think the Spotify's of the world have proven that people are willing to perhaps pay a little money to get all the music all the time. And maybe that's how we're going to have to go to allow and make sure that the Pandoras of the world can pay these artists. But it'll be interesting to see where this goes. It's certainly one way or the other going to change the way we consume our music.
Absolutely. And no pun intended, but it really is actually like a Pandora's box at this point where we've realized this new method of distribution. It's really kind of hard to take that back after you get so used to it, I suppose. So,
I agree. There are still people because of the Napster, world that say, pay for music? You got to be kidding me.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on to talk music with me, Scott. Where people can find your work and follow what you do online?
Well, thanks for having me. If you're in the Bay Area on NBC and anywhere else, Twitter is probably the best way. Just Scott Budman, all one word.
Fantastic, Scott. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right. Take care. All right, and finally, since April 20th is just days away, 420, we thought we'd end up with this here at the end. You've heard about cops using drones to find pot farms. Well, now criminals are doing it. In the UK, at least one man admits he is using a drone to fly around neighborhoods looking for high-intensity lights used in marijuana grows. The 33-year-old man told Hallie Sohan News he bought a secondhand heat-seeking camera online. When he finds a homeowner growing pot, he either steals the plants, knowing they will not go to the police, or extorts them, promising not to turn them in. Apparently, this man has no guilt, saying they are they're fair game. It is not like I'm using my drone to see if people have nice televisions. I am just after drugs to steal and sell, end quote. Well, okay then, pot stealer guy. Why don't you tell us how you really feel? That's it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. You can subscribe to this show at twit.tv/TN2 and write to us at tn2@twit.tv. Do not miss our morning news program. That's Tech News Today. Records every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Jason Howell. Thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.